This is an interview with Aldo Rossetto, recorded by Eleonora Marchioro on the 4th of July, 2011, in Eleonora's home at 33 First Avenue, Nailsworth. It is an interview recorded for the Italian Market Gardener Oral History Project. Also present is my husband, Johnny Marchioro. Now, what is your full name?
Aldo Rossetto. Or Aldo Rossetto, if you like.
When were you born?
26th of April, 1934.
Where?
I was born at Lockleys in Keswick Hospital, which no longer exists, and baptised at Hindmarsh Catholic Church, yeah.
What was your mother's name and date of birth?
Mum's name was Adele. They used to call her Adelina, and that's how she got her name as Lina Rossetto. And she was born on the 18th of
June 1904. And what was your father's name and his date of birth?
Father's name was Gelindo, and he was born on the 14th of January 1895.
Mm. How many were in your family? How many brothers and sisters?
Well, there would have been seven if all had lived, seven children, but only three survived. And those three are my sister Lena and myself. We were second and third, and Silvano, who was the seventh child. But we had an older brother called Romeo, and he died at the age of seven after being in an accident, and that was very sad. And then she had two babies that only lived a few months, and one was stillborn. So, yeah, there were seven children there would have been had they all lived.
Did your parents tell you any story about what their life was like in Italy before they came over to Australia?
Yes. Well, starting with my father, he... like they were a peasant family in the province of Treviso. Bigolino was the town, and
that's where
Dad was born. And he was with a family of nine children, and my mother was born in Biadene di Montebelluna, also in the province of Treviso, and she had two sisters and a brother. There were four children in her family.
What job did your mother do before she came to Australia?
She was at a very early age. Because they were all poor in those days and didn't have much money, but she became a maid servant at the age of about 13, I remember telling us. And then they had the... they had a war in 1914, and she had to go on as a refugee down in the southern part of Italy. I'm not quite sure where, but as a refugee, she had to leave with all the family, yes. And she went to Rome, that's right. She went and lived in Rome with other relations. Mm.
And what about your father? What kind of job did he do?
He was like, he would have lived off the land, and you know, they had the land still exists, and which I visit every so often, and belongs to the family. And he was just a gardener cultivating things. But when the war started in 1914, he had to go to war. He fought for Italy against Germany and was wounded in the war, in fact. And when the war had ended, he then became a policeman. And he also spent time in France, but I'm not quite sure why, but he had to go to France, and also spent some time in Germany. And on the return, a bit, you know, later on when it became mid-1920s, when Mussolini came to power and fascism was getting stronger, he disliked that intensely because he was more a socialist than a fascist, and he wouldn't stand for the fact that the fascists used to go around from village to village, and if they didn't convert you to fascism, or you wouldn't turn, they would beat you and make you drink castor oil, as a result. And he, in 1927, migrated to Australia. That was the Depression days, of course, and with two other brothers on the same boat, and they arrived in Port Adelaide in 1927. But before that, the year before that, I had another uncle or dad's brother who was second oldest. Dad was the oldest son, by the way, and the second son was Domenico, who opened up Rossetto's grocery store in Hindley Street, corner of Hindley Street and Grey Street.
Mm. Can we just go back for a minute, back to how did your mum and dad meet?
Oh, yes.
Where was it?
I'm told this, that she worked as a maid servant in Venice, in St. Mark's Square, and in the building where there's two big Negroes, every hour they'd bang the
Imori,
that's what they were called, and they'd bang the time, and she worked in exactly that building as a maid servant looking after young children, and she would have only been perhaps 14 or 15 at the time, but I'm told that Dad saw her in those years, even though Dad was about nearly 10 years older than her, and they must have communicated, I think, off and on over that period of time,
And so I think you already told me, but you can tell me the name. Who did your father come to Australia with? Which brothers?
With Adeodato, who was named Atto, and Angelo. They were the two brothers that came with Dad, and Domenico was the one that came a year earlier.
And do you remember the name of the boat that they came on?
Oh, I did have it. I've got it written down, but I forgot to bring it with me. Yeah. Carignano. Carignano was the name of the boat, yes. And they landed at Port Adelaide. Mm-hmm.
And how old was your father when you came here?
He came in 27, 95, that'd be 32. He would have been 32, yes.
Mm-hmm. And when did your parents get married?
Ah, that's an interesting one, because Dad was already in Australia, 3 years, and he kept communicating with my mother, who was living in Italy, and wrote her some very romantic love letters, which she kept her whole life. And they got married by proxy, where my father's father took her to the altar, and they had a big reception, which I've got a photograph of at home. And then in 1930, that's 3 years later, she arrived in Australia.
Do you know the name of the boat that your mum came on?
No, I don't know the name of that boat.
And do you know if someone sponsored them?
I don't know. I think it wasn't. Immigrants in those days had the chance to get cheap fares. I'm not sure, to be quite honest. No, I'm not sure. Oh, had he been sponsored?
Yes.
Oh, yes, it would have been my uncle, Domenico, who had the shop. He sponsored the three brothers to come over. Yes, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And where did your father live when he first came here?
Well, he lived at Frogmore Road with another uncle who had married my dad's sister, Rebuli. Nana Rebuli was one of the sisters, but Bruno Rebuli also came on the same boat as Dad, the uncle, and they all lived together in Lockleys in Frogmore Road, yes.
What work did your father do when he first arrived?
Oh, he was a market gardener. He worked in the garden, but there wasn't much money to be made in those days, and it was only through the fact that he had brothers and, around assisting that helped him out. But eventually he went to Central Australia in the mica mines, and that was hard times as well. But he spent some time there, and then When Mum came to Australia, then he came back, and they were in the garden. They had a garden at Lockleys, and Mum had first three children in 30 months, you know, during that time. And she also worked pretty hard, because I remember her telling me that even while she was pregnant, she'd be behind the horse and ploughing the furrows in the garden. And it was hard times at that time, yes.
So what did your uncles and auntie do for a living, the other uncles and auntie that you had?
Well, Uncle Atto, he became a wharfie, worked on the wharves, and Angelo went to Queensland cane cutting. And they both, a few years later, returned to Italy. And then after, Atto did come back to Australia, but Angelo remained in Italy until the Second World War was over, and he brought his family over then, and they lived in Melbourne when he came back with his family.
Did I know other Italians who were living in Adelaide at that time?
Oh yes, there was a big Italian community, and after Dad and Mum lived at Lockleys, they moved to Adelaide, the centre of Adelaide, in a street called Fenn Place, which runs off Hindley Street, almost down to the North Terrace. It was near the rail yards. It was not far from the rail yards. And that's where Dad then returned to Central Australia in the mica mines, which he purchased a share.
The second time, yes.
He purchased a share, Mum got pregnant a few times. She'd get pregnant, and then he'd go back, and then come back for the birth, that sort of thing. You know? And while she was pregnant, she was delivering milk. She had a milk round because there was no money coming in, and early hours of the morning, maybe 4 or 5 o'clock, she'd have a bicycle with milk cans hanging either side of the handlebars, delivering milk to the extensive Italian community around West Terrace, Weymouth Street, Curry Street, Hindley Street. There were a lot of Italians that had migrated at that time. In winter time, she'd get wet, soaking wet, and it was hard. It was very hard times, but yeah.
Did your parents keep in touch with the relatives in Italy?
Yes, very much so. And always communicated, you know, sent photos back and forth, because there was one brother. I'll start by saying that there were 9 kids in Dad's family, and 8 of them came to Australia, and one of them, Eugenio, or Zio Nanno, stayed in Italy, and he had a family, and he took over the property that our family owned. And all the brothers then willed, signed papers so that he could have that property, because he was looking after grandfather and grandmother, you see, because they were on their own, and he looked after. Anyway, where was I?
So they kept in touch.
And we used to always send them parcels during the war, you know, after the war, and which they really appreciated, because it was bad times then. And Dad did go back to Italy for a visit, and I can't remember the year, but would have been when I was about 14 or 15, maybe 1950 or thereabouts. He went back to visit, then came back to Australia. But in 1958 or 59, he decided that he wanted to go back to finish off the rest of his days in Bigolino, the hometown. And he and Mum and my younger brother Silvano, who was 10 years younger than I, He was only about 14 at the time. They went back to Bigolino, and whilst they were there, Dad developed cancer of the esophagus, and he was in serious trouble and had a big operation after a couple of years that he was there. And then Silvano, after a couple of years, saw that there was no future left for him over there. He wanted to come back to Australia. And he did come back. He was about 16 or 17 at the time. Played soccer while he was over there. And then when he got back to Australia, he then became one of Juventus' soccer stars and played for South Australia as a centre-half, you know. So, yeah, that was interesting.
That's very good.
Yeah. And then I went to Italy when Dad was gravely ill. Mum was in the hospital at Valdobbiadene having her gallstones removed. So they were both in hospital, and I got this message. So I was working for San Remo Macaroni Company as a sales rep at that time, and I flew over to Italy just to be there for them. And eventually Dad recovered slightly and got out, came out of hospital. Mum recovered and they went back to their house. And then after about 6 weeks, I returned to Australia. And after another year or so, Dad passed away. I think it was 1961 that he passed away. Yeah.
So did your mum...
Oh, yes. And then Mum stayed on for another, I'm not sure how many months, perhaps a year. But she missed her immediate family, although she enjoyed her time and we had relations over there. She missed her three children that were in Australia and grandchildren, and she came back and settled at our house at Flinders Street, Kent Town, which we had when Dad and Mum left to go to Italy. That house at Kent Town was still ours. And then later on, we sold that house and she went to live at Hectorville. You know, at St Bernard's Road, Hectorville.
Later in life,
yes.
But how was your mother involved in the Italian, in LA community when she came back?
Oh, yeah, well, she loved going to the Veneto Club, and because, you know, she just about knew everybody, all the Italians that were there, because they were all from the Veneto. And every Saturday night, without fail, and perhaps Sunday nights, was it? She'd be there with a friend, Vittoria, and she loved to dance, my mother. You know, if ever I came down from Darwin, because I was living in Darwin at the time, she'd force me to get up and dance, you know, and she used to go around picking partners to to dance with, even at the age of 80, between 80 and 90, because I went, she had her 80th birthday at the Veneto Club and also her 90th, and we all congregated the relations then, and even when she was 90, you know, I had to dance with her, you know. She really loved that Veneto Club.
Mm. And I believe that your mum was involved a lot with the soccer community in Adelaide too.
Yes. When we were at Flinders Street, that was not long after the migrants started coming after the war to Australia. And there was Juventus players like Mario Buzzidoni, Scalamera, Burattini. These are gun players who came from Italy that played for Juventus and played for South Australia. They all boarded at our place. And so she was instantly, and of course Silvano was playing soccer as well, but so she was going, she'd go to the soccer every week. But perhaps I should go back. I also played football for West Adelaide. And when I was, she was splitting the soccer and the football, and when I started to make a bit of a name for myself, she came to the football quite often too, so she was torn between the two. But when at the age of 92, before she died, she was an avid Crows supporter, and she loved Tony Modra. You know, she always talked about, and she watched footy on TV or every weekend, yeah.
And your mum had lots of friends. Can you just name maybe a few of them?
Yes, there was Santina Burato, who was a guardian, really. She lived at Ross Trevor, which was across the road, and she'd come around just every day to visit, to see how she was. And Mum coped, by the way, on her own for many years, and she did everything. She used to cook for people, invite people for dinners, and she was tireless. And there was Pina del Corobo was another one. And there was Giordano Rossetto, who's no relation, but he married a cousin of mine. He'd often go around, and the family. She'd always have had people there around for dinner and cook for them, even at the age of up to 92 years of age. She died at 93. Bertina, who was a wonderful, wonderful person, who works, by the way, at the Veneto Club. And she, the day that Mum died, Bertina went around to see. She couldn't see any sign of life, and she wondered what was going on. Anyway, she had a key, and she went inside, and Mum had collapsed in the shower, and that's how she found her.
And I believe it was the day of the grand final, that the Crows won the grand final.
It was.
Because she was supposed to go to watch the game with Angelina.
No, because I came down the day after from Darwin.
Yes.
And that's when the final was on. Yeah. It was just might have been a day or two before. And I remember at the funeral, I mentioned that it must have been divine intervention that the Crows won that game.
That's right. Now, Aldo, I'm going to ask you some question about your childhood growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you live in Adelaide when you were growing up?
First it was Lockleys, which I can't remember because I was under 3 years of age. But I remember Fenn Place. I was just over three, and I had a amblyoptic eye, which means I was cross-eyed in one eye, and I had to go and get a pair of glasses at the age of three and a half. So that was my first memory of Fenn Place, because I remember putting on, I had a patch over one eye. And I remember when we got home with the glasses, everything was spinning and I could see the gravel on the ground and stuff like this. And then from there, we went to live at 254 Weymouth Street, down the West End, near on the corner of North Street. And we must have been there for 4 or 5 years. And from there, we moved just a little further up the road off Weymouth Street called Crowther Street, and we rented a house. Meanwhile, we were always renting at this stage, and we were at Crowther Street perhaps 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. That was my age, I remember. And 16, I reckon we would be there until at least I was 16.
What language did you speak at home with your parents?
Never spoke a word of English because they wouldn't speak to me in English. And, they spoke our dialect. And we always conversed in our dialect, which is close to Italian, the Veneto. And it became very handy for me in later years because I was offered a job with San Remo Macaroni Company in the early stages. Aldo Crotty was the boss, and he came and asked me to go and work for him. And we had a lot of Italian grocery stores to visit, and I could converse quite freely, and it was very handy for me to have that second language.
Where did you go to school?
I went to school at Dominican Convent in Franklin Street, which was a monastery. You know, there were Dominican nuns. And I went there until grade seven, which was, And my father, who was a non-believer, if you might say, I couldn't say an atheist, perhaps. Like Bob Hawke, he was agnostic. he said that I'd be going to the school that was closest to home. And the school closest to home was the Dominican Convent. But then when I finished grade seven and I had to go to high school, He said, you're going to Curry Street Adelaide High School, which is around the corner. So, you know, I didn't want to go because I was a good Catholic boy at that stage, and I wanted to go to the Christian Brothers or a place like that. And so I went to Adelaide High and did first year and second year high and left at the age of 14.
And how did you used to get to school?
I walked because it was just around the corner, both places. It was very, very convenient. Yeah.
Can you tell me about your school years? What did you like?
That's where I developed the love for football, at school. We used to always be kicking a football, and we had a group of kids, you know, Italians, all mixtures of kids in Weymouth Street. We used to go down the West Park lands and kick a football. We used to love football, and that was the reason. Even though I wasn't bad at school, I got 62% in high school, which was a good pass, and I still wanted to leave school because you weren't allowed to play for the Colts whilst you were still at school. You had to play for your school, and I wanted to play for West Adelaide, and I said to Dad, you know, I don't want to go to school. And Dad at the time didn't force me to continue. He said, well, okay, if that's what you want, you know, because, and then Mum didn't mind either, because I started to work as a labourer at the age of 14 and got a man's wage. And all that money that I used to get, I used to take it straight home, as did my sister. When we were living at home, all the money went to them, and then we'd get a small £3 or £4 a week to spend on ourselves, and that was the way it went. So, yeah, that was that's how it was.
Were Italian tradition maintaining your family, like making wine and making salami? Did you say
that? No, they didn't do any of that. Mum was always busy with boarders. Yeah. But I know my uncle, Bappi, who came... Oh, that's another brother that I didn't mention earlier. He came in 1938 to Australia. He was the youngest boy. And he used to make grappa, which is schnapps, I suppose you call it, and which was illegal. And I remember going around to his place, and he had this little distillery where he'd boil the wine, and it'd go around a coil and a drip in. And the Italians loved their schnapps with a cup of coffee, black coffee. But he was the only one that I knew that made anything like that. Yeah. But then it became...
What about your mother? Did she, you know, cooking and things and all that?
Oh, she was a very good cook. And, you know, I loved her cooking. And then I found that out after I was married, you know, that I took me a while to get used to Australian cooking, and then later on Swedish cooking, you know. but I love Italian food, and she was the greatest at cooking, yes.
And what kind of social activity did your family enjoy?
Well... Dad was away most times, but when he'd given away work, he used to love playing bocce bowls at Stockel. Yeah, Stockel's boarding house had a few rinks, and he was pretty good at it too, and he liked to play cards. And he was a heavy smoker, and I remember as kids we used to stand around watching him play, and we coughed like anything because all the smoke that was in the room, you know. And... So that was his enjoyment. He loved his bowls and his cards. Mum, she liked to go visiting friends. She had a very good friend in Angelina Marchioro, your mother-in-law, and she loved going to visiting her relatives at Lockleys. And even myself, as a young, you know, 12, 13, 14 years of age, every Sunday, we'd be going, in winter, we'd be going to the Reboli's place on Frogmore Road and kicking a football on the road with Elvio and Vito Reboli. Guido was only small at the time. And then on Sundays, we always went down Henley Beach. And on the Henley jetty, we used to dive off the jetty and swim around there and loved Henley Beach. Mm.
And where did you make your first Holy Communion?
When I was seven, I was at Dominican Convent, and
what church was
at St. Patrick's Church, which was just adjacent to, and I was an altar boy for 2 or 3 years, And until the time came when I was at the altar and I had to put the water and the wine in the chalice, I put some wine in and I put too much water, and the priest gave me a little tap across the face. You know, he didn't appreciate putting too much water in the wine.
And what clothes did you wear? Did you have a suit made for the Holy Communion?
No, we had shorts and long socks, and we were white shirts. It was summer, and we never had long trousers. I didn't have long trousers until I was about 13 or 14. Mm.
And who were your godparents?
My godparent for Holy Communion was Battista del Corobo. I mentioned his wife, Pina del Corobo, who was a very good friend. And Battista was in the mines with Dad in Alice Springs for many years. And he also boarded at our place for a time. Yeah. And as confirmation, I'm not sure now. It's such a long time ago, but he was either my godfather for confirmation. Yes, he was the godfather for confirmation, but I can't remember the communion who was God. You don't have a godparent.
Godparents for your baptism.
Baptism, yes. I had godparents, and they were Italian people that lived at Mile End, whose name I just quite can't remember at the moment.
And how did your family celebrate birthday or other special occasion?
Not a great celebration, but probably the most vivid memory was one year at Christmas I received a bike. Unbelievable, you know, and I would have been maybe 10 or 11. It was a healing cycle. And that was the most wonderful present I'd ever got at that stage. But we weren't great on having birthday celebrations or whatever. Except on my 21st, that was a big celebration. And
Aldo, what do you remember about games you played when you were a child?
We always used to, as little kids, we used to have a little gang of Italian kids like Stocco, Lino Stocco, and his brother Bruno, and there was a few of them. We used to go. We often used to walk across Morford Street Bridge and go to the River Torrens and yabby, you know, catch yabbies. And I remember once, when it happened the first time, I'd lost my glasses. While we were swimming in the water, I put them aside and then walked home. And Mum and a group of people were looking for me because they thought I was lost and didn't know what happened to me. They were worried. And when I got a hiding when I got home. And also, she said, "Where's your glasses?" And I said, "Oh, I must have left them." And back we had to go to the River Torrens and we found them. So that was one thing. But it was always cricket and football. They were the two major influences in my life because I played a lot of cricket with Adelaide in district. At the age of 16, I played District B grade and won their bowling aggregate. And then I gave cricket away because I enjoyed going to the beach. And football, well, I never lost hold of that. That grabbed me right through.
Mm-hmm. Now, Aldo, I'm going to ask you some question about Market Garden in the area around Frogmore Road.
Yes.
Do you know when the first Italian Market Gardeners farmed on Frogmore Road, roughly?
Well, it must have been around about the 1927, because that's when Bruno Reboli and Dad and his brothers came to Australia, and there may well have been other Italians at that time. There was the Piovesans, and the Tonelato and Marchioros that I'm not sure when Johnny's father came.
In 1927.
Well, I reckon that was the era because they were all. I noticed on the list of the Carignano's ships, list of passengers, it all had gardeners along every name. So they were all market gardeners. They cultivated the land as peasants in Italy and lived off the land, and obviously that was the way to go.
And what do you remember about Frogmore Road?
Oh, well, I don't remember anything as a little, having been born there, but every school holiday, nearly every school holiday, I'd spend time with my Zia Nana, that's Rebuli, at their place in Frogmore Road, and I used to go and help them pick tomatoes, and you know, they used to grow celery, and like there was Vito and Elvio, the older brothers, and Guido, the younger one, who's younger than me by 7 years, and but they were my favourite cousins, if you like, and family to visit. But I did also have Zia Severina, that's another one of Dad's sisters, who came after the war and lived in Weymouth Street, and there was Johnny and Maria Rosa, who were, and we were very close with them too. And here's an interesting point. When, up until the age of about 14 or 15, Dad wouldn't buy a radio. He didn't want to have a radio in the house. So I always used to go around the Mazia Severinas and listen to the radio, and also used to go around to Urbani, the tailor, and I used to sit underneath his table listening to the Test cricket in 1948. I remember that the undefeated Australian side of 1948, led by Don Bradman, I used to go in there at night, and the Test would start at 8 o'clock, and I'd be sitting there till late hours to listen to the cricket. That's right.
Where was your family garden?
The family garden was on the corner of what is now known as Findon Road, but it was River Road and Pearson Street. It was right on the corner, and just down the road and Pearson Street is where the Marchioro's garden was. And I know we were very friendly with that family as well.
How much land did your father have?
Being young at that time, it looked pretty big, you know. It looked an ample-sized garden, but I couldn't tell you what the area was. I remember they had a pump up from the river, you know, and Dad would prime the pump and with his hand and then pump the water into the channels. And he used to... We lived in Crowther Street at that time, and he used to, when I was on holidays, he used to donkey me on the bar of his Super Elliot bike and ride to the every day to the market garden and ride home every night, you know, when he was probably tired. And but it, I know I also got a sore bum out of it a few times.
What did they grow?
They had glass houses, and I think they had cabbages and cauliflowers as well.
Where did your father sell his produce?
At the East End Market, yes, and that's another memory that I have, because, you know, I remember he used to case all the half cases of tomatoes and load them up on the truck, which he eventually bought, and he used to make me come with him early hours of the morning. You had to be there early, and I'd get up and feel sleepy, and then I'd be sitting down until all the cases were sold. And I say, oh, come on, Dad, let's go home. You know, I'm not tired. But that's where it was, at the East End Market. I remember that vividly, yes.
So I was going to ask you, did you ever work in the garden?
No, I just potted around and, yeah, I didn't really, because I was too young at the time anyway.
So, we'll ask you about the Moika mines.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
Old, I'd like to ask you about your working life.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do when you left school?
When I left school, Dad had bought a whole lot of mica, cased to uncut, and he delivered it at Crowther Street, and we had a sort of a sleep out where we would, that's an element that was used in toasters in those days. You had to trim it. There'd be in books, and you'd split it open thin enough to be able to cut it with a knife into shapes, and then put it in its various grades. And Dad got me doing that at the age of 14, after I'd left school, for maybe 6 months or so, you know. And that's probably where he got the idea of getting me to Alice Springs later on in life. But then. From after that, I worked at a waste paper depot in Angus Street, where a couple of West Adelaide Colts footballers worked as labourers, and it was a waste paper depot, and I was getting a man's wage doing a man's work. All the trucks would bring in bales of waste paper, and we'd lug them in and stack them and send them up an elevator, and the paper would be all sorted and go through, and then it would be crushed and taken away. But that was for a couple of years.
And can you tell me about your experience in working in the mica mines at Spotted Tiger?
Yes, at the age of 17, Dad by this time was going up and down because he had shares of the mine, and he'd spend a few months up there and come back and so on. But on this particular year, I had won the Tompkins Medal for the fairest, most brilliant senior Colts player, and I was so delighted and thinking, wow, this is great. And then Dad said, come on, you're going to come up to Central Australia and work in the mine over the summer before next footy season. So I went there, and begrudgingly, but also obediently, because whatever Dad said, I did. You know,
please tell me, where is the Spotted Tiger Mine?
The Spotted Tiger Mine is about 120 kilometres north of Alice Springs, that's right, and in Hart's Range, that was the name of the location. And in Hart's Range, there was the Spotted Tiger Mine, which Dad was involved with, and there was another mine called the Billy Hughes Mine, which is about 7 kilometres further on. And you'd have to voyage, there was a sandy creek, and when it rained, that would flow, but most times it was. And that's where you drive the truck to get to the other mine, sort of, you know. But
that's what I was going to ask you. How did you travel there?
Well, when I arrived in Alice Springs, the truck came down from Alice Springs, driven by Cesare Daminato, who was another Lockleys person, and he drove me to Hart's, back to the mine. And there's a police station there, by the way, and there was also a big tank with a windmill, because it was also a sheep cattle station in that area. And anyway, we used to often walk from the mine to the police station and have a swim in the big dam, the big tank that was there, you know, when it was hot. But anyway, the mine itself was situated in a sandy bed or on either side of it, and we all lived in tents, and which was covered by brush. There was a frame of wood, and then there'd be brush over the tent to keep you cool, because it was summer. And the mine itself would have to go up maybe half a kilometre up towards the mine, to the mouth of the mine, and then we'd go into the mouth, and that's where they'd drill and put explosives in the drill holes, and then you'd light the fuse and rush out of the mine while it was blowing, you know, while it was exploding. And then after everything calmed down, you'd go down and pick out the books. The mica comes in books quite large and small and all sorts. And then from that, they were loaded into a truck up the mine, and it would be taken outside of the mine where there was an undercover area where we'd sit down and split the books and cut the mica to shapes into various sizes. So that was the life. And then, in the afternoon, we used to come down and there'd be somebody cooking for us in the, we had a sort of a bigger kitchen type brush housing. And we also had a lot of goats. We kept, I reckon, 200 goats, and they used to milk the goats. We had milk with the goats, and then we'd have goat's meat as a regular meal, and potatoes and stuff like that. It was we lived very healthily, and I remember on New Year's Eve we celebrated, and I was a non-drinker, and I was talking to having some, because they all drink claret, you know, Italians, from flagons, you know, during the meal. Anyway, they got me to drink, and I had so many glasses of claret forced down, didn't like it, and then my head started spinning, you know. I went to the tent, and that night I was sick as a dog. and then around between the tent and the brush area, there's a gap of about 2 feet, and the chooks would come around and lay eggs and cackle their heads off. And while I had this hangover, you know, oh, I remember that vividly.
And who else was living there? Can you tell me some of the names of the people?
Yes, there was Enrico Fantus and his son David Fantus, and Zilbappi, my dad's older, his youngest brother, was there at the time. And there was a chap called Adamo, and Cesare Daminato and his wife were there.
So there were quite a few. Women there and children?
Just before me, there were, because Zilbappi's wife, Ziabruna, and her children, her three children, were at the mine, but they eventually went to Alice Springs and went to school there. So, and Ziabruna went with them. But so there was no children there when I was there, but there were children before that, yes.
Mm-hmm. What work did you do? What was your work in the mine?
Well, that was it. I used to cart the stuff out, shovel it into the trucks, take them out and cut mica.
What time did you get up?
Not an ungodly hour, but probably about 7 o'clock, something like that.
How long was your working day?
I didn't ever feel that I was overworked, you know, so it would have been an 8-hour day, I reckon.
And how did you enjoy your work?
It was okay because I had a young friend there called Davide Fantus, who was recently arrived from Italy, and he couldn't speak English, but we got on really well, and we used to, it was good to have him there as company of about my age.
So how long did you work there for?
Oh, for 6 months, and then I was able to come back to resume my football with Westies and... and then I had another year with West Adelaide Colts. I was captain when I was 17 and 18, and then I resumed football after that, and that was my big thing from then on.
Aldo, what did you do for work when you returned to Adelaide? What kind of work did you do when you came back?
Yes, I was offered a job with Mosaic Flooring Company. You know, my mum's sister's husband was a gang boss making cement and terrazzo. And I remember, I was a labourer, and they were building holes at Kilkenny at that time, and we were laying all the concrete for all the big sheds that eventually became Holden at that time. It's no longer there anymore now, I know. But we did all that work, and I was a labourer, and there was lots of Italians working at that time, and I was their interpreter. They'd get me to drive them in a ute to various jobs and things like that. So, yeah, but I remember doing a lot of hard work pushing wheelbarrows full of concrete. But then after that, there was an Italian couple of guys who didn't speak much English, and they asked me to go and work for them, and they valued me because I was able to help them with doing their books, and I used to send out their bills for them, and I laboured for them. And that was the next job. And the following job, by this time Dad had retired, and he took on the job as delivering beer in a custom line utility. Do you remember that?
No.
We had a Ford custom line, brand new, and he used to get beer from the Overway Hotel in the corner of Hindley Street and Morford Street, and he'd load it up with cartons of beer and go around to all the Italians in Lockleys and other areas and sell the beer and make half the profit. And eventually that got too much for him, and he said, come on, you can take that over, which I did. But it wasn't a lucrative thing, and And the hotel owner, who was Maurice Minervini at the time, said, well, okay, since you're not going to do that, what about coming to work for me as a barman? Okay, and that was at the Overway Hotel, and that job I did not like because you had to serve drunks and all this sort of thing. And I was only there for 6 months or so, which I didn't enjoy. And at that time, I was really hitting the high spots with football. I must have been 22 or 23, and I had a real good year. And that's when Aldo Crotty of Pasta Sanremo came and asked me, would I like to work for him as a sales rep? Now, that was a big step forward, you know, because up until then, I'd always been a labourer. And there I was with always dressed up, and they gave me a car. And I used to go around selling pasta and continental goods, coffee and all this sort of stuff to the grocery stores. And I was there for about 6 years or so, yes.
And who did you socialise with?
Mainly my West Adelaide football friends. There was Doug Thomas and Fred Aegis, who was an Aboriginal rover, and Jack Richardson, who became infamous later, but I won't talk about him. But mainly all blokes from the football team. And of course, Johnny Tormina and Maria Rosa and Lena, my sister. And we often used to go to dances. And I remember going to a Davis Cup ball at the Adelaide Town Hall when Australia had won the Davis Cup. And met Harry Hopman and a few of the tennis players and whatever. Yeah, it was quite a good time. I used to dance. I forgot. I had a good friend called Brian Webber, who was a West Adelaide supporter, and he was a ballroom dancer. And he said, why don't you come and learn ballroom dancing? So I took it on, and I did my bronze and silver medal and silver and bar, and you went in competitions at the Palais Royal. So I was a reasonable dancer, you know. And that's where I met my first wife, Nancy. And she was a ballroom dancer too. And she was a former Miss South Australia. And that's when we met. And things progressed from there. And we married in 1958. The marriage lasted. We had a daughter, Amanda, who is now 51. And let me see. Yes, the marriage lasted about 7 years. Unfortunately, we were incompatible. And at that time, I had gone to Darwin. We tried to make a fresh start, you know, when things weren't working out. And in 1966, I went to Darwin to join Nancy's brother in a marine and sports store. So that's how I went to Darwin.
Can we talk a little bit about that afterwards? Because I'd like to ask you about Darwin.
Yes.
But I'll just give you another couple of questions and we might have to stop it now.
Okay.
Did you ever observe or experience any racism because you were an Italo-Australian?
As a young boy? Yeah. Yes. Because we were aliens during the war, even though we hated fascism and that, you know, especially my father and that. I remember there were some Greek kids who used to call us dagos and whatever, and there was also a bit of Protestantism, you know, that Sturt Street school kids used to call us Catholic dogs, jump like frogs in and out the water, you know. but as soon as you know, that was only lasted probably during the war years. But as soon as I became involved with football, never did I experience any racism about my ethnicity. In fact, I know that Armando Urbani, who was a friend of the family, when I was playing for Adelaide, there was a couple of guys called me a dago and whatever, and he went and gave a punch to me, you know, punched them up. But I never had the feeling that I was looked down upon because of that. I was quite proud of the fact, in fact, yeah.
Well, Aldo, thank you very much for sharing your story with me. I really appreciate it. You've given me such interesting information about your life in this interview today.